Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting is Sister Sanders and Brother Feaster. How y'all doing this evening, family?
Doing outstanding.
I am great and ready.
Well, I'm going to tell you, last week was a really good show. For those of you who missed it, you missed a treat. We were talking about last week, where is your money going, or where your money is going? And, of course, that is a show that has been building on what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks about setting your house in order and getting us on this path to economic recovery. And, of course, we tried to deal with it from the perspective of the church, and we wound up going in a couple of different directions, and then we wound up bringing it back together at the end. So I think God had a lot to do with that. But if you missed last week's show and you're listening on the telephone, on the phone line, we actually go to the website on Blog Talk Radio. So the web link for last week's show is tobtr.com/s/553-1575. And with that, we're just going to go ahead and get into tonight's show. Tonight's show, we're dealing with money, trust, and transparency, part two. So this is really a part two of last week's show. And we had a lot of feedback, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, on a lot of individuals that really wanted to hear this conversation, and we're grateful for all of you, the listeners, who just be with us every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, whether you are listening to us live or listening to us from the archive. So with that, let's just go ahead and get into tonight's show. Tonight's show, we're going to really focus on, Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, transparency, because I think that's where we had a lot of the, so much of the conversation last week. Sister Sanders did a magnificent job just breaking open this thing about trust, and then we started dealing with transparency, and that's when things started getting interesting. So, you know, one of the things I want to think of, kind of put out there to everybody, is, you know, as we think about transparency, you know, transparency is needed in every congregation, it's needed in every ministry, and if there's a care for the concern of people and the people that is serving, I think we have to understand that transparency is something that's required. For me personally, I believe that transparency is a godly principle. I think it's something that we as believers must adhere to, because I think transparency speaks to the nature of the relationship between individuals in the church. I think it speaks to the relationship between leadership and the members. And I think it also speaks to the relationship between the church and the community, which the community could also mean other churches. So with that, we're just going to pose a couple of questions out there. If you're listening to us, we definitely would love for you to join into the conversation, and we'll definitely give you a seat at this table. The first question that we really wanted to deal with tonight is, what type of transparency are you looking for from your church? And that's where we're going to start it off with. So I think I may come to Brother Feaster first. And let me tell you, Brother Feaster, why I think that's an important question for us to ask. I think it's important because as situations arise in the church, as situations come up, whether they're valid or not, whether they're substantiated or not, whether it's your own perception which has become a reality, I think your understanding of transparency determines whether you're going to make a reaction when something comes up or whether you're going to respond. And I don't need to tell you, Brother Feaster, but, you know, a lot of times people will react at certain things and not have all the information. I know I can speak to that firsthand. So for our first question, I wanted us to just think about that. And, again, those of you who are listening, if you're listening to us online, you can always call in 914-338-1692 and post your, ask your question or respond to the questions that we're putting out here now. Brother Feaster, so let's just come to you. What type of transparency are you looking for from your church? What is it that your church or churches that you're involved with, what do they need to show so that they're able to show you that the transparency is needed?
Well, I'm glad you said one of your statements as you started into this. You said something to the extent of people come up with their own ideas and own conclusions. We jump to a lot of conclusions on a lot of things on a little bit of information, and then we react on that information. And I think starting off, getting an understanding of what's my definition of transparency when we're talking about the church? It has to start there, because we can't get an understanding if we don't have an understanding. So it has to start there. One of the things that I was beginning to think about was when we're talking about transparency in the church, and I kind of asked this question last week, who says that the church has to disclose everything? And that's what we're talking about, transparency. Where is it? Who is it? Why is it that we're disclosing everything? So that's what we first got to get understanding, you know. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it, and I'm not saying that we should do it. My question is, that's based on what you're saying, Gerald, we got to understand that. We got to understand what we're saying about transparency. So for me, it starts off with why am I obligating the church, or why is the church obligated to be transparent? You know, I understand where we're looking at, you know, being transparent, and we're looking at the church. But where does it say? What does it say? That's where it starts for me. Exactly, where did that come from?
And I think it was last week, Sister Sanders, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was last week that I think you had responded to that as well about the whole trust factor. And I can speak to your response, or I'll give my response to that question. There is nothing to say without any equivocation that the church has a requirement to you as a member. And again, I'm using the word strongly, a requirement to you as the member to have to provide transparency. So the question is, there's nothing that says that you have to do it. That's the real answer. Nothing. Nothing in the Bible says that a church has to provide transparency to the members. Nothing.
So I wasn't really reacting the question. I was stating it as, this is why we have some of the confusion in the church that we have, because we don't understand that question. You know, some people feel like the church is obligated, like they're mandated. They must tell me where the money is going. And then some people are saying it doesn't even matter as long as I trust the church and God is doing what he's doing. So that's what I'm saying, is that's where we start with the transparency. You know, getting an understanding on why are we even asking the question? Why must the church be transparent? And does that make sense?
It does. And I think the question that you're asking goes alongside of the question that I'm asking. What type of transparency are you looking for from your church? Because it all boils down to the individual. For some churches, giving a bank statement once every year that has everything lined up, they have a meeting once every year, that may be transparency to them. But if you come there and you're used to getting a bank statement or a monthly budget statement, so to speak, because that's what happened at your previous church, If you have that understanding going into a situation, going into a ministry, and you don't get it, then what is that going to do for you or for that individual? Right. So I think your question is, who's to say? The individual. The individual is the one to say. But again, not again, but I also think that there is well worth mentioning that all churches don't operate as ministries as well.
Right.
So for me, my context of me posing this question is really not so much, and I use the word church, but I probably need to change it and say ministry, because I like the example of what ministry does versus what church does. Does that make sense? And Sister D, if you had something that you wanted to jump in, please do, because, you know, we'll just keep on going.
Well, I like the question that you asked as far as transparency. I still think, you know.
Speak up a little bit for us, cuz.
I was just going to say, I like what you asked about what type of transparency are you, you know, am I looking for from the church? And, I mean, when I think of about transparency in the church, I just think of somebody that's just going to be honest, that's going to have integrity, that should I have a question about, you know, just a general knowledge question about what's going on in the church, that someone is going to give me an answer. And it's not going to be something that, you know, that doesn't make sense, but it's just an honest answer. So the type of transparency that I guess I'm looking for is just for you to be honest with me and to have integrity. And that's what I think transparency is. It's just being able to be open. I think about, you know, the transparency sheets that we used to use in school back in the day with the little, not the projectors, but the big old machines with the light. And,
oh, yeah.
And it was transparency. And basically what it meant was that what was written on that clear, transparent sheet of paper and was projected through the light on the board, you were able to see it. And so that's what I think about transparency, and that's what I think about with the churches, that whatever is being done here where everybody can't see, like you don't see, you I guess it's the projection of what's being written down. So if we're saying that we're going to do something, then it should be projected so that everybody in the classroom or everybody in the church can see it. And that's what I think of transparency. When I think about the church, I think about openness. I think about what you say you're doing, what we're doing right now is being projected for everybody to see, and no one will have a question or no one will be able to form a negative perception about what's going on, because perceptions can be both positive and negative. So if we think about the church and transparency, I just think about that big transparency machine with the light, that when you put the information down, it's projecting off on the board so that everybody in the classroom can see it as you're doing it. Sometimes, you know, when we're going through, you know, I think you gave the example last week about purchasing the van. Well, transparency,
right.
One form of transparency can be the little thermometer needle that we put up in the church to say, hey, this is how much money we've raised so far. That's transparency, because now we can tell you, we told you what we needed the money for, how much money we needed, and now we can give you a metric or a system to show you how much money we are raising so you can see that we're making progress as we go through the process of purchasing, raising money in order to purchase the van. That transparency to me.
And you know, that when you said the thing about the thermometer, I thought that was real interesting, because I know I've been in churches and I know I've been a part of churches where as we were trying to quote-unquote raise money or asking the members to contribute to a certain cause, whether it was towards the building fund or towards the building of the new sanctuary, that would be put out there to have everybody, to give them some type of hope. And that's what I really believe it was for, to be able to say, look, we need $100,000, and we got $10,000 tick marks on this thing. And then every time you come inside the church, you can see, okay, we're at 10,000 now, we're at 15,000, we're at 25. I think that tactic was used or has been used to be able to help people to see this is where we're at and this is how far we need to go. So for me, I don't see it as being a problem if we do it for that particular reason, or if anybody's church or ministry does it for that particular reason, I say, Dunlap, there should be and can be that same type of transparency when it comes to some of the basic operations of the church. I'm just saying. That's my thought.
I like what she said when she said the thermometer, because I began to think about the example that I gave a while back when nobody was there from the financial committee to even answer any of the financial questions. And for me, that's the answer. Honestly, when you said it, that for me, that was the answer. You should be as transparent as you need to be for your congregation. Mm-hmm. And in that, because at the end of that meeting, because it seems as if the transparency was in question, in other words, we're going to tell you everything, but we're not going to break this down. So then the temperature got hot.
Right.
The temperature got real hot.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And so for me, that's when all of a sudden now he wants to be more transparent. But I gave you one example of one meeting, but all the meetings went like that. So me as a leader, and now I'm not speaking about that particular church and that situation. Now I'm speaking about me as a leader. Me as a leader going into a meeting, knowing every time we have this type of meeting and we get to this point or whenever we discuss this in a meeting, that as a leader, my job is to try to mitigate that or clear that up. Because the last thing you want as a leader is a bunch of hostile people working for you.
That's right.
So when you said being a thermometer, you know, Adia, that really hit me hard because I couldn't answer the question until you said that. Because to me, for example, a lot of times when I join churches and they all of a sudden start talking about voting, I tell the pastor, I don't vote in churches. Because I believe, and this is just my belief, that if you're the pastor and God is talking to you and God is leading you, is talking to you to lead this church and this is the direction you're going on, why am I voting on what God said? What I'm going to do is 3, 4, 5 months down the line, after this is what you're saying God is doing, I'm going to do like a systems check. Hey, pastor, you said this is the direction we were going, but it looks like we're not going in that direction. And so for me, that's that gauge. That's that thermometer. That's that gauge to see where we are in all of this. So that hit me, and that's really where I'm coming from when we're talking about transparency, what you said at the end with the thermometer.
And that's a good point because I like how you brought up the whole thermometer in another aspect, because I was just, you know, like you see the Red Cross, they're raising money, so they have like, hey, this is how much money we raise. But you also, the other side of the coin is that we also have to have a thermometer check of where are we right now. And a lot of times that part is missing. So maybe we have the image to show people what we're doing, but then the thermometer check is everybody okay? Does everybody agree? Does everybody understand what's being said? And do we have a common, consensus on this? Because if not, then there's perhaps a chance that if somebody's thermometer is set at 60 and we were aiming for 80, then the potential that there can be issues or unresolved problems or murmuring going on, it can definitely hinder the transparency of whatever that event is. If it may be a one-time event, it may be something that's done annually, or just the overall temperature of the entire church, because we've all experienced or seen or have heard to where something happened in the church, and because it went unresolved, or the person that maybe had something to do with it was not told, but 5 other people were told. Now those 5 people told 5 other people. Now you got 25 people that know about it. They told 5 other people. You keep doing the math. You know, you see how this thing begins to multiply. And that same one person that needed to know it didn't know. So now the temperature in the church is at 55 degrees, but we're thinking that it's at 80 and that everybody is on that same common page. So now we have to where we thought what was being transparent or was being, being transparent is now not the case. And so the temperature gauge has to be checked to say, hey, is everything going okay? That person owes it to them to say, you know what, it's not. And instead of me coming to you, I went to these people because I wanted to get a little bit better understanding, not understanding that talking to those five other people wasn't going to get you to understand that you needed because they had nothing to do with what was going on. Who you should have gone to was the person that said or did whatever it was that you did not understand. So I definitely, I'm glad that you brought that up because it's definitely two sides when we look at a thermometer. One is to give us a visual of the goals that we're trying to reach and how we're doing to get there. And the other one is gauging the people. Where are the people at during the process? Sometimes that's overlooked. We got the visual, and everybody is up and cheering and running around the church, but then you got somebody sitting over in the corner with their arms folded on, I had a better idea than that. Well, I didn't agree with that. So I definitely like that point that you made with the temperature, actual thermometer, temperature gauge, that is going to look at the people as we continue to talk about transparency, Nate.
You know what? You're on fire. You're giving some great metaphors. You know, you talked about the overhead projector. You talked about the thermometer. And I think that is one of those things where we have to be real and honest. You know, I understand exactly where you're coming from, Brother Feaster, when you said it. You're talking about, look, and this is me, where is this all coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we really talking about? Why are we even having this type of conversation? Because it was a concern raised by a previous caller. That's one thing. The other thing is if we're not willing to have a conversation, like I said last week, then you don't have the opportunity to remove those barriers that prevent us from working with one another or working together. You know, there was an article I was reading, and I think I'm going to try to go to it briefly. There was an article, and it's an article from a couple of years ago, but out of a newspaper in Jacksonville, Florida. And here's the title of the article. Experts say financial transparency, accountability is the key to church health. If money is mishandled, the effects can give a bad name to the entire sex. So they're talking about this one particular church. I'm not going to name any names, but this one particular church was spending thousands of dollars trying to defend itself from a lawsuit that was filed by three of the deacons of the church, bro. And the deacons had to file a lawsuit because they were worried about the way the leaders were spending the church's money. That is crazy to me. That is bananas that would even have something like that would even have to go into outside of the church into the legal system. But the thing is, it's a reality and it's something that happened. The thing was dealing with a $22 million loan. How is this money from a $22 million loan being used? Now, here's my thoughts. You know, I'm not a real deep guy. In the 21st century, there really should not be any issue with being transparent. No issue at all. We have so many different tools that are available to us. So why not? That right there, if you just take what I just said about this article, about what happened down in Florida, and when I think about that, I said, man, you know, it talked about how this lack of transparency, real or even perceived, generates everything from headaches to disgruntled parishioners to legal challenges. It goes on to say, search the internet and you'll find too many stories of misuse of funds in churches, and when that happens, everyone in the Christian world gets a black eye. That's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation, Brother Feaster. We know that there's individuals that have that concern out there. So why not address it? Why not do something to try to bring, as this organization was providing this statement to this newspaper, to get the church's health back in line. Article says this, most church financial woes result from honest mistakes in an environment where the laity is often all too trusting of religious leaders who are, in turn, usually untrained and uninterested in administration. This is a professor from the Center for the Study of Church Management in Villanova. The article goes on to also say about another church in Florida, annual budgets are drafted by a finance committee and distributed to all of the members and then voted on by the congregation during a Sunday morning worship service. Throughout the year, and this goes to what you were talking about, Brother Feasus, throughout the year, the pastor and other ministers spend the money in their budgets while the finance committee meets monthly to oversee revenues and expenditures. Look, the church has decided, look, you're going to get this, Brother Feasus, for this ministry. Sister Sanders, you're going to get this. Brother Dunlap, you're going to get this. They're not telling them what they can or cannot do with the money. They're just overseeing it. And every 3 months at a church-wide business meeting, any member can ask any question or raise any concerns about that. Here's what the pastor of this church said. We do it that way to avoid any appearance of impropriety. Financial accountability and transparency is an obligation congregations owe their parishioners. We are responsible to the people to show we are being good stewards of their money. Brother Feaster.
I admire that church. I really do. I admire that church. I am the type of person, and I'm going to speak for the guy that's sitting in this chair using this voice on this line. I don't ask questions if I see fruit. In other words, I don't walk into an apple tree and ask as if it's apple tree. There's no need because I see apples on the tree and that tells me it's a fruit tree.
So, regardless of whether it's rotten or not.
Right. But, I mean, at this time, I just want to see if it's an apple tree. So what am I saying is, my father in the ministry, man, when I say he taught me a lot, I mean, I still ride on some of the stuff he taught me. He laid a great foundation for me. I never questioned where the money was going. I never questioned about the money. There were questions, but I never questioned it because I went on the retreats. I went to the outings. I went to the outreach programs. I went to these places. I went to the meeting when the outreach committee, the evangelism committee, said we need a tent. And then I went to the outreach event where the tent was erected. You know, I went to the meeting where this ministry said we need this to do this. And then I went to the event where they had those things. That's what I mean by, you know, I don't need to question the apple tree, if it's an apple tree, if I see fruit. That's what I'm talking about as far as being the thermometer. And that's why I admire this church, simply because they are being that transparent. Because in a lot of cases, people only question it in most cases. I'm going to come back to me. I'm sorry. I only question if there's a question to be asked. If I see where it's going, if I see what's going on, then I don't have to ask any questions. Now, when it starts getting fuzzy, it goes back to the voting. I tell them up front, I don't vote in church. That's just me. I'm not putting that loud for you, right? Because I see where this is going. You can't tell me to vote on something that you're saying God is telling you to. Now I'm waiting on fruit. I'm a fruit inspector. That's what I'm saying. So when it comes to being transparent in the church, my expectation is, I'm not going to ask questions if you're showing me. If I don't see, then I'm going to ask questions.
Let me ask this question, though.
Uh-huh.
That's all well and good for something that's already established, but if no ground rules have been set, what does it do for the health and the life of that church if something doesn't, if you don't see that fruit after 2 months? But going into it, there was never a question asked because you're just waiting to see where the fruit is.
So I'm not walking in blind. Let me say that too. I'm not walking in blind. No, I'm not going in saying, you know, just because God told you this, I'm fine with that. I mean, the fruit is all, I mean, you know, there's not just one apple on the tree. You know, that, you know, a credit report ain't just looking at one bill paid. It's looking at more than that. So when you come and you say these things, you know, I run your credit report. How faithful have you been? How truthful have you been? Have you, you know, if I'm just getting there, then, yeah, then I got to be sit back. But then I ask those questions. I have to have something to go on. For me to check, look at an apple tree and know that it's an apple tree, I must first know that apple grows on tree and what an apple looks like. So I'm not going in blindly and just sitting back and let it all happen. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is if I see this is the direction that we're going, then I'm going to keep it going in that direction until there's a question to be asked. Does that make sense?
It makes
Did
a lot
I ask
of sense.
You a question?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that it, you know, we can clarify for a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that have been hurt, quote unquote, by the church when it comes to the lack of transparency, the lack of trust with the money. Just take the article that I just read. $29 million loan. You don't get a $29 million loan only bringing in $100,000 a year.
Right.
So you have to say there's either a few individuals that's bringing in a lot of money, or there's a lot of individuals that are contributing in a massive way to be able to obtain a $29 million loan.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And it makes it a lot more difficult when you have a lot of members, and it also makes it kind of challenging when a congregation or people believe that there's only, well, you know what, since Brother Dunlap Feaster and Sister Sanders, you know, they're the large givers of the church, so they get to call shots because we know that, you know, they have contributed so much. It's really, to me, it's about what are we able to do to just take away all of the nonsense, to reduce all of the noise that is trying to reduce the message of the gospel, to try to bring people back to Christ who have left because of nonsense like this. What about their lives as they've gone on and stepped away from the church because of things of lack of transparency or lack of trust or mistrust when it comes to the funds? I'm telling you, I've been a part of some churches and been in community with some churches that have gone through some things when it's come to money, and I'm talking about in my own community. And we've had listeners that have talked to us as well, you and all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, how transparent we are, being willing to ask certain questions about certain things, it matters. It matters to the individuals that are giving. It matters to the people that are sitting in the pews Sunday after Sunday listening to the Beat Down Scripture, Brother Feaster, and so many other things. Again, that's just a couple of my thoughts, just a couple of my thoughts. So if you're listening and you want to join into the conversation, 914-338-1692 if you happen to be listening online. And if you're already listening and you just want to join into the conversation, press one on your dial pad. The question that we have posed so far is, what type of transparency are you looking for from your church? And, again, that's an important question because it deals with your understanding and if you're going to react or respond whenever a situation comes up. And also asking that type of question can help you, those who have stepped away from the church and may have something still left inside of you that wants to come back to the church, but there's some issues there that need some resolve. So that's the one question. Another question that we'll just introduce it right now, and Sister Dia, we'll let you take a stab at it. What about the church today? Is it necessary that my church, is it necessary that your church, Dia, be transparent about the money that it receives from you and even from outside sources? Is it something that you think is necessary?
I'm going to say yes. And I say that for my first reason is that in order for the church to be transparent, those who are in the church, there must be a level of transparency with the individuals. And one example I would say is that if you look at, and y'all reel me in, but I'm going to put this one out there. If you look at when we were talking about the government shutdown, talking about our national budget. Now, if at the national level, they can't get a budget together, people that we elected into these positions, how is it that we still require people at the micro level in our individual homes? How is it that we expect for the mayors and the governors to have their budgets together? Like, because it's kind of like that foundational, what's done at the head is going to trickle down, because they are setting the climate of what the standard is. So we want people in their homes to be able to manage their money so that they can have a good credit score and be able to get a loan to buy a house or a car or, you know, to pay their bills on time. And if they don't, we ding them on their credit report. And so when you transfer it over to the church, you know, we, as you have leaders that are preaching the gospel and they're teaching the word of God to say, hey, this is what the Bible says to do. And so there's an expectation for the people that are in your church, in your shepherd, a part of your flock, to apply the word of God, where it says don't just be a hearer of the word, but also be a doer. So does the doing stop with just me that's sitting at church on Sundays and on Wednesdays or whenever Bible study is, or should it be across the board that we are all supposed to be held to that same standard of the word of God, that we are to be not only hearers but doers of the word? And so I say that because I was looking at an article and it was talking about transparency. And, of course, you know, you already mentioned that it may not be a word that comes to mind when you think of churches and ministries, but it should be. And it said transparency is not about distrust. It is about disclosure and prevents personal agendas from circumventing God's agenda, which produces church irrelevancy. So we want the church to remain relevant in our times, but without transparency, then the things that we are saying that are part of what God wants us to do, we want those things to remain relevant, but we got to have a level of trust. We got to have a level of being able to be open about what it is that we're doing. And so when I looked at this article, and it's not even an article, it's about this, it's an actual church, the Center for Church Transparency. It's a website. You know, it talks about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where Paul states, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. But when you go to 1 Timothy 4 and 6, Paul is telling Timothy, he said, but here's the remedy. If you would tell the saints, point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and for the good teaching that you, Timothy, have followed from Paul. So you see that when you walk in transparency, when there is transparency in the church, that the leaders are able to speak on it because they're doing it, and they can teach others and develop and mentor other church leaders who will then trickle that down to the members of the church in a small, whether it be a small group or cell groups or the different ministries that are part of the church. And so now everybody understands that transparency is not just something that is not just a magical word that we throw around, but it is something that we live, because it ties us back to the word of God, that we understand that there are going to be different teachings that are out there. But if we teach, if we point these things out, then there's always going to be a level of trust to where people will know what someone stands for. They'll know, you know, hey, that's the church right there that believes in being open, being in communicating, and sharing what is going on. And I just think that, you know, this website just really helped me to understand more about transparency and what it means, and how it ties into trust, and definitely how we continue to make the word of God and what God's priorities are and what his agenda is relevant in the church today.
You know, one of the things that you just said, just I'm going to try to piggyback off of it. You talked about what leaders do actually matter. You talked about what's done at the head trickles down. And I'm going to throw out a couple of scriptures, but I'm going to just say 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me tell you what, I'll just read it to you. Let me just do that. It's talking about the preparations for the temple. So this is talking about King David and the temple, building the temple for the Lord. And for those who don't know the story, David had a heart's desire to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant, for the presence of God, and God said he had blood on his hands, so he would not allow him to actually build the temple, but he was so gracious enough that he allowed him to participate in the preparations for it. So that's where we are when we start dealing with chapter 22. And listen to what David said, and Sister Dear, this ties in exactly to what you just said. It says, so David gave orders to call together the foreigners living in Israel, and he assigned them tasks of preparing finished stone for the building of the temple of God. But verse 3 is better than that. It says, David provided large amounts of iron for the nails. It says that he gave more bronze that could be weighed. It said he also provided innumerable cedar logs. And then when you go down to verse 14, here's what David says. I worked hard to provide materials for the temple of the Lord, nearly 4,000 tons of gold. Did y'all hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
4,000 tons of gold. 40,000 tons of silver, so much iron and brass that it cannot be weighed. I also have gathered timber and stone for the walls, though you may need to add more. You have a large number, and now he's talking to Solomon. Now you have a large number of skilled stonesmen or Freemasons and carpenters and craftsmen of every kind. You have expert goldsmiths and silversmiths and workers of bronze and iron. Those are resources, right? So it's not always about the money, as we say so much. Then he said, now begin the work. Then David ordered all the leaders to Israel to assist Solomon in projects. So this whole project of building the temple for the Lord was a very massive, massive project. But did you hear what I said? I mean, what I read. I won't say what I said, what I read. It was David who gave. It was David who gave. It was David who gave. So David provided that example of giving for this magnificent thing called this temple. Let me go over a couple of chapters, and this is where it ties all in. So the work ahead of him is enormous. So what David did in chapter 29, he calls Solomon in front of the whole assembly of Israel. And he says all to the people, the work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mortals, but it is for the Lord God himself. So, Brother Fisa, I think that ties back into something that you said when you were talking about purpose. Maybe that's my word, but I know you had mentioned something to that. It talked about his devotion. But after all that I just read to you back in chapter 22, what David had given, listen to what he gives now. He says in verse 4, chapter 29, I am donating more than 112 tons of gold and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls and the buildings, for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Watch this. Now then, you know when you read in the Bible when it says now then, you just got to get ready, because that means somebody got to really do something. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? He didn't beg them. He didn't ask them more than once. He just put it out there. Somewhat, isn't that similar example to what I said how my pastor did several years ago when we needed that $30,000 for that van? When it comes to giving, so many people like to use the scripture in Corinthians from Paul about not being giving out of compulsion or guilt, freely giving, being a cheerful giver. But I like this right here because we can actually see a true example, a biblical example of what actually happened. So it just doesn't stop there. In verse 6 it says, then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and the captains of the army, the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. For the construction of the temple of God watch this. They gave 188 tons of gold. They gave 188 tons of gold, but King David gave 112. And you know David had it. It's not the amount that they gave. It's not about making a comparison. What it's about is what they gave as a collective. They gave 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited into the treasury of the house. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. So, cousin, as you took us there, you see that there is an example, a very strong example, that it's about what the leader does first. And see, this is not this scripture right here, those texts that I just read to you, that's not an every Sunday thing. You can't break that out every Sunday during your offering time.
Mm-hmm.
That's for something significant. That is for something enormous. That is for something powerful. That is for something that's going to really affect some people. Not for this. What they didn't give this just to build a temple, just to have it. They gave it for a purpose of God. I'm done.
So now that you said that, because I tell you what, like, I am so excited because the king set the environment for the people. And that was one of the words that came to mind. We were talking about today in class about the environment. And one of the things that I wrote down, I was like, you know, sometimes we think we know the definition of words, and truthfully, that may not always be the case. So to better help me understand stuff, I will write down the definition of a word because it will give me clarity. It will help me to better understand what's being said. So I just tonight, I wrote down the definition of environment, and it was saying surrounding influences, natural world, regardless of risk from harmful influences of human activity, a set of conditions. He set the condition for the environment for other people to give. And I think that it's important that we understand the environment, because in this environment here, like you were saying, the captains and the officers, they couldn't give what they gave every Sunday. But it could be that the environment that is being set is for people to give I don't want to say overabundance, but to give like how these people gave every Sunday. So the environment that you set, or the conditions that you are setting in your environment, is that we need you to give like this all the time. But what's the reason? There was a reason that they were giving, and it was offerings for the building of the temple. I know last week I talked about we got a building fund and we don't have a new doorknob on the door yet. So why are we giving? Why are we requiring that people or setting a standard that people have to give a certain amount when maybe there's no event, there's nothing that we're trying to do? You know, could it be that, hey, we don't have enough to cover the church's mortgage, and so for this month we need, or this week I will say, we need a little extra money. Is that something, if that is the case and that is an example, am I willing to say that so that people understand, since we're talking about transparency, am I willing to say that across the pulpit to let people know what's going on, so that the need that we have can be met, so that can I build and have an environment that is conducive in order to meet the need that we have? And that's what King David did, and that is phenomenal, because I think a lot of times we can do this every Sunday, and then people sit here looking like, wait a minute, what I need to get $300 for again this week? Because that's my light bill money. I need somebody to tell me what's going on. That's where the distrust as that website stated, I think comes in. We're requiring people to do something, but we're not. There's a lack of transparency, so to give people something to better understand what's going on. And when we can paint the picture, when we can throw up the thermometer, or give or state the vision or write the vision, so that people can see it, read it, and ask questions about it, I think we will probably get different results, and people will be more than willing to give. Because if David had just told all these people, hey, I'm giving $50,000 and I think you should too, I don't think he would have had the support that he needed, because they would have been like, oh, King David has lost his mind. Did you hear something from the Lord? What we need $50,000 for? And he just come back and say, oh, we just need $50,000. I mean, now we're looking at, okay, what is he going to do with this money? Now the questions come. Now the perception comes. Now the distrust comes. Now the lack of transparency comes. And now your temperature gauge that Feaster was talking about begins to slowly decrease. And now you're losing your people because maybe it was just a lack of an oversight. So we want to definitely have an environment that is conducive so that when we want people to give, there's a willingness. And like you stated, you know, because now we have a leader who has set the conditions and has set the standard, and he told them this is what we're doing it for. That's such a great point. Amen for the Bible.
And you know what? I'm a piggyback. I'll try again on something that you said about saying that we need money for the mortgage, right? I want to put this out as a sensitive statement and a cautionary statement. When you hear something like that, when I hear something like that, I often wonder, is it the mortgage that needs to be paid, or is that the emphasis that is being put out there, because people will react to that versus something else? So case in point, church brings in normally $10,000 a month, for example. They have a total amount of bills totaling $7,000 per month. And for whatever reason, they only get $4,000. The mortgage is $4,000. But they're still lacking a couple thousand to take care of all of the other bills that have to be taken care of. Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
So more often than not, the leader is not going to get up there and say, look, we're going to pay this mortgage, but I'm not getting paid. It's going to be put out there as the church needs $2,000 more to pay the mortgage. Again, this goes back to transparency. Just like with somebody that may come up to you and say, look, man, I need some help paying my light bill. Well, is it the light bill that really needs to be paid? Or is it something else that needs to be paid, and you're using the light bill as the reason? Because you may have the light bill money, but you don't have money for something else. So that's when being transparent and opening self up to say, look, this is how much we have. We brought this amount of money in this month. These are the bills, including my salary, if I'm a salary pastor, including my salary. Because if you go back to David's example, David led by example.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to believe that if David was in that situation in the scenario that I just provided to us, that David probably would have taken a loss on his personal so that the house of God could keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of cat that David was. At least that's the way he was to me.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I agree with you. And I definitely like verse 8 goes on to say, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel, the Gershonite.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't, you know, some people didn't have the gold and the silver, the monetary, but they had precious stones that could still go towards the building of the temple. It was not rejected. It was still received because there was a environment that says, bring what you have, because we still need it to build the temple. So think about if we're building a church or a daycare center, well, some people may not have the finances to give. Are we going to be transparent enough to say, for those who may not have the finances to give, you know, they may know somebody who has desks or pews, or they may know where they can write a letter and get a favor for somebody that they helped some years ago to say, hey, my church is preparing to build a church or a daycare. I know you work for the where you do window installations. Could you do this for the church on my behalf as a part of my contribution, because I financially do not have the money that they're asking for, but I know somebody that can do window installations for free. That's the stuff that we got to look at when we're talking about being transparent. If we are transparent with people, when I'm transparent with people, I'm basically it's like being vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's like putting yourself to be vulnerable to say, hey, I'm here. I can be open with you because I want to help for the greater good. There's nothing that I need to keep from you, because it's going to help in the overall impacting of whatever it is that we're trying to get accomplished.
And as we're talking about trust, transparency, as y'all were talking over the last couple minutes, a lot of things was just running through my head. And, you know, a lot of times, JR, your analogy was so, man, that really hit me, because when we talk about trust and transparency, we're also talking about compassion.
Mm.
We're talking about trickery. You know, what about, you know, because there are a lot of times people will play on your emotions, you know, and move a dollar here to get $2 there, you know. And then idea of something you just said, I mean, y'all running in my head, just all totally in my head. When it comes to the pastor's anniversary or the church anniversary, and lately a lot of churches are saying, we want each family to contribute $1 for every year that the church has been in existence. And if you don't have that money, because, you know, some of these churches have been around for a while, and if you don't have that money, then, you know, give what you can, $5, $10. But what if my contribution to the church is I decorate?
Hmm.
My decorations or my decorating abilities, if you want to look at it monetarily, could exceed the number of years for the church. But that's not what you're extending your hand for.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to the original thing, you know, the reason, the what we look at on the PRF table. It's not just finances, you know, it's resources also, it's possessions also. There are a lot of, when you talk about putting on a program, yeah, money is not going to be the sole purpose of any program.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that, money might buy the resources, but somebody's got to go get the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to put together the resources. Somebody's got to own the resources. So it can't always be just the money. There are other things that contribute to the upbuilding of the kingdom, to the upbuilding of the church, to the upbuilding of the ministry, to the upbuilding of all of this. And if we stop, if the focus is redirected from the money, man, so much more things we'll be able to see. So much more things, and it goes back to what we're talking about tonight, being transparent. When I go to people and I need money, I'm transparent. Look, either you're going to give it to me or you ain't, I'm going to ask you. I need X amount of dollars because of this. And one of the things I learned from my father in the ministry, you know, he said, if you come to the church and you're requesting for money, we're just going to ask you how you're spending your money. And if we and one of the things that we're going to do, if we see that you're managing your money bad, you know, we're going to offer you a money management class. And that's what we talk about when it comes to being transparent. You know, it's not just give me the money, but let me see. And, JR, this is what you were talking about a long time ago, where the lady was coming to the church over and over and over for money, and come to find out, you know, I think it was her son or somebody was spending the money on drugs. Yeah.
Right.
But it takes that time for you. You sometimes you got to be transparent enough to go out and reach to that person. So that trust, I mean, everything I'm hearing tonight is trust and transparency. Man, if you can make one word out of both of them, I think they're so intertwined and so close that you really can't separate them. I mean, if we look at the negative side of the coin, if you're not transparent, how can I trust you? If you never show me, what you're doing with what I give you, then when am I going to have the opportunity to build up the trust to give you even more? After a while, I'm going to fizzle away. I don't see what you're doing with it anyway. So
right.
I think those words are so close intertwined. And I started off sounding real contradictory at the beginning, but it comes to a head here as we're closing to the end, because if the church never opens the doors, well, you know, the church always says the doors of the church are open, but the finance room door is closed. The finance room door is always closed. That door is never open. So that's when it becomes a trust issue. You know, and I'm using that term figuratively, you know, but that's when it becomes a trust issue. Can I go in this room? Am I allowed in here? You know, can I go in here? If there's a reason for me that I want to go in here, I should be allowed in here. And if not, why not? Or what does it take for me to gain access? Because there may be some rules and some regulations, some procedures in place for security reasons, you know. But then what are the procedures? What are the procedures? If you're telling me I can, and then when I come you say I can't, then what are the procedures? So there we are being transparent again.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start closing the doors, the more I try to go in and you continue to close and close and close the doors, there's that thermometer that you were talking about earlier, Dia. There's that thermometer. Now all of a sudden, okay, my temperature is raising because you're giving me reason to doubt. You're giving me reason not to trust, you know. And, Gerald, I like your analogy when you was talking about, you know, the mortgage, maybe $10,000. We may have enough money to pay the mortgage, but not all the other bills. So we know if we pay all the other bills, people will be inclined to pay the mortgage. Well, let's be truthful. You'd be surprised. Somebody may not care about the mortgage, but they might care a lot about that church van getting gas in it to go pick up their neighbors because they don't want to put the nasty kids in their car. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. And you'd be surprised a lot of times what happens. A lot of times me just opening up and saying, look, perfect example, and then I'm getting off my soapbox. Perfect example is when I got off work today, I had a headache. My day has been straight up and straight down. I've been excited to the top to where everything was going good, and then I, you know, got emotionally and spiritually drained by somebody pulling a lot of energy out of me. And that was the whole day. So at the end of the day, I had a headache, and I called up my cousin, and I was like, look, cuz, I need you to just encourage me. That's what I need from you. That's what I need from you. You know, I was transparent. I went to him in need. Didn't need money. I just needed a word.
Right. I think if you dropped the mic, I think that's what you just did.
Yeah, I pulled a JR.
Well, let me just say this. You know, I am truly hoping that what everybody who's been listening to the show, whether you jumped on the line and been listening at the beginning the whole time, or if you even just jumped on, to understand what we're talking about tonight. Again, and why are we even talking about this? We're talking about it because it started as a concern raised from one of our listeners a couple of weeks ago. And if you're not willing to have conversation about subjects such as this that we know affect the church, that we know affect so many people in the church, that we know affect so many people that don't want nothing to do with the church again anyway, if we never do that, then we're not taking and seizing the opportunity to remove the barriers that prevent us from working together, that prevent us from working with one another. So, again, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for all the listeners, all of you who have been listening, and I think we got about 10 more minutes left in the show. So let me throw the questions back out there. If anybody's on the line, we'll go for about another 5 minutes or so. The question that we asked, what type of transparency are you looking for from your church? That was one of the questions. Another question that we posed tonight was, so what about your church today? Is it necessary that your church be transparent about the money that it receives from you, that it receives from the members, that it receives from the outside sources? And then maybe we have time for it. If anybody is on the line and wants to jump in, do you have a positive or maybe a not-so-positive story about transparency money in the church? It does something when we tell our story, because oftentimes within our story, if people are willing to listen, you can hear the hurt, you can hear the pain, you can hear the shame, you can hear the guilt, if you have, Brother Feaster, courage enough to care. So I'm concerned. I want to hear your story. You want to hear your stories. Not that as if we have all of the answers on the PRF table, but we can at least be willing to listen and be able to see if somebody else may have the answer. We know that God has the answer, but Brother Feaster, you just said it so perfectly. Sometimes we need a brother and sister who God also has created on this earth to be in community with me, so when I got a headache, I can say, look, I just need a little bit of encouragement, because we know how money in the church and certain situations that have happened to certain individuals has done something where individuals are tired of the church, don't want nothing to do with it. And these may be some individuals who never have been a part of the church, but they're getting information secondhand. Can you imagine somebody who is on the fence with church, on the fence with God, and then all of a sudden they decide that they happen to look at a newspaper article or a clipping, and they only get part of the story. And that story pushes them further and further away from the church, or pushes them further and further away from God. The reality is we all know that God has not left them, but sometimes we're able to leave God. So if you're listening, again, press on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation. If you're online, go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Sister Dia, I think Sister Dia has left us for now. So Brother Feaster, do you have one of those type of stories? I know you mentioned earlier, but is there any other stories that you have or any other closing comments that you wanted to bring before we shut down for tonight?
The only story that popped in my head is the one that I said earlier about my father in the ministry. I never, even though there was questions, a few questions about the finance, I never had to question the finances, simply because, like I said, I saw the fruit of the labor. I was in a lot of the business meetings. I was in a lot of the executive meetings. I was in a lot of the, you know, council meetings. And when the different ministries would come up and propose their budgets, and I used the word loosely, and they had to fight for the money that they want. And then throughout that year, the things that they put up, I would see them do it. And matter of fact, I have another story. A good brother of mine, was every time, as long as I've known him, he's been in charge of the youth department. And every year he asks for X amount of dollars to do X amount of events. You know, he takes the children to different outings. They go do outreach. They go feed the hungry. They go fold clothes at the shelter. They do all this stuff. And he asks for, every year he asks for X amount of dollars. And every year they cut it. He don't cry and complain, you know. He just takes what he get, and he just does what Jesus did with the two fish and five loaves of bread. He feed the multitude. And he just does what he do with the little bit that he has. You know, and a lot of times that's what it is. I mean, he spent, because it all boils down to, you're going to put emphasis behind what you passion. If you believe it, nothing's going to stop you, and that's what it all boils down to. So when it comes to being the church, being truthful, being trustworthy, and being transparent, I think they're synonymous. That's one word. And my final comment is, and I said this before, and I heard it while you were talking, JR, and I'm gonna say it. A lot of times, what we're doing, because the church body, the church is a representation of who God is. In cases like this, a lot of times we're giving God a bad name. God is very transparent with us. God is very transparent to us. You know, and as a church member, as a church body, as a church goer, I am obligated to be transparent also, as the same. God is not hiding anything from us. He told us, you do this, this is going to happen. So I think we owe it to God. And more so, and nothing against God, but more so to the non-believers. Because in most cases, the only God that people will see is we as we present ourselves to them. And those are my final comments, JR.
That's a good word. Let me close out with two illustrations. And I hope I haven't mentioned it last week, but for those who didn't hear it last week, you get a chance to hear it again. There is a TV show that I like to watch, and there is a certain individual, about two of them, that speak on finances. They speak strictly about money. They don't talk about possessions or resources. They really just speak strictly on money. And on this TV show, one of the things that I noticed was at the end of every time they speak, preach, teach, whatever you want to call it, they would say that God spoke to them and said that there is, for example, 1,000 individuals out there that God has spoken to him about giving a seed of $249.52, for example. And then he would say, but there's also 7 individuals, for example, that can give a $4,000 seed. And in no way am I questioning the word of God that God gave to this individual man or woman of God or another individual man or woman of God. But one of the things that I started noticing was the shows used to run as reruns, because I would see, like, the choir and certain people from the choir, and I remember the songs that they were singing. And so I started thinking, I said, well, hold on now, this is kind of interesting. The individual said that there were 7 individuals that God said to give this great seed. And what would happen if more than 7 people gave? What does that say about the word that God gave? Because if God asks you, let's think it like this. If God asked us for 10%, then he asked us for 10%. We don't get extra credit because we decide we're going to give 12 or 13. I think Jesus would probably call us hypocrites. So I started wondering about that. I said, man, they run these rerun shows, and what about 7 people that hear that and they respond? On one hand, you can say theologically, well, you know, God is doing exceedingly abundantly, blah, 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 blah. But I was thinking, and this is what came to me, if God said that there are 7 individuals, then there are 7 individuals. God ain't got to have no obligation to split his blessing on 14 people because 14 people are decided. But there's a responsibility, and this is the point. There's a responsibility to that network after they run these rerun shows and say, hey, this is not a live show. But I've never seen them come back and say, we had 7 people that God spoke to through such and such. And this is what happened. You never hear the results. So let me end on this note. There was another show that I was watching with a pastor, and I'll mention his name because it's a positive story, Pastor Jamal Bryant. And there was a young lady in the congregation that he knew needed money for her rent. And let's say the rent was $800. And I thought this, what I'm about to explain to you, was such a living example, an up-to-date example, because I know I read an article to you from 2009. But this is an up-to-date example where he put it out there to the congregation. He mentioned to the congregation that there was this need. He asked the lady to stand up, not to embarrass her, and say what it was that she needed. So he had her to speak what she needed. She said, I need $800 on my rent. I'm be evicted if I don't have it by Monday. What he said was, if there's eight people here that can give $100, then this sister will have what she needs. Brother Fisa, that sounds like that's fair. So as the people started coming up, one at a time, he is counting them off. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. When he got to eight, he said, stop. And there were still people trying to continue to come. And he had to say, stop. The need is 800. The need has been met. I thought that was such a thing of integrity. And then he said, I believe that there's somebody else going through something like that. And there was another brother there who was 2 months behind on his rent. And I may have the story mixed up. It may have been the lady had 1 month and he had two, whatever it was. But there was another person who had 2 months that they were needing. And the thing that I thought was so amazing was the same thing happened. But he cut it off when the need was met. That's the thing of transparency. So when you see that type of example, you're able to say, you know what? I don't mind being a part of that type of congregation. Not just because they gave, but because of how it was done. The transparency of how it's done matters. Whether I'm asking for it as a pastor, whether I'm asking for it as a member, I'm asking for it as a deacon or some other leader in the church, how it's asked for matters. The integrity that we use as we're asking people to give for these particular things, these projects, it matters. So you got two examples. One that was not so pleasant, at least it wasn't to me, that doesn't have all the transparency that's there, and one that has a clear level of transparency. Which one would you rather be a part of? So we thank you, everybody. Sister D, if you would, do you have any final comments on our last minute for the show?
I do not, but I just definitely thank you for just bringing out those two examples because it is we need those things. We need to know those things that maybe somebody has questioned if they should give to one of those ministries, or you know, just at least to have the understanding and the knowledge that there are going on. And I just definitely agree. I experienced the same thing. I was actually watching a TV show, and, you know, the gentleman was just like, oh, we get all these people to give this amount. God is going to bless you. Well, if you can give me a specific amount to give, can you give me a specific blessing that he's going to give me too? And so that was probably the other thing. You know, you want to be specific with the amount, but like you were saying with the story about the lady and the gentleman with the rent, what was the specific, you know, can I expect something specific in return? Not saying that God can't do it, but, you know, that level of faith and not to prey on people, especially the people of God, these people love God, and they would probably give everything that they have. But if we're not going to treat the people right, we owe it to them to educate them and to let them know what's going on so that they can rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen. We thank you. Thank you. So you're listening to the PR Table, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Feaster, Brother Dunlap, Sister Sanders, come back and sit down with us again next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we get prepared for our anniversary show, which is coming up on December 5th. So our anniversary for the PR Table is actually on December the 4th, and we're just going to have a very fun-filled and packed show for you on December the 5th. So until then, God bless you. We love you. We ask that God just does something miraculous in your life and that everything that God has for you will actually come to pass. So until next week, God bless you and we love you. Have a good night.